Thank you for being with us on The Point. It is 8:35, and if it's 8:35 on a Tuesday, that means it is time for the Positive Points on Aging. And, of course, Miss Katie comes through on National Pirate Day. Arr! And, boy, how about me and my karma? Because I go and I try to guilt her into bringing us breakfast, and sure enough, she brings us breakfast. But here's where the karma comes in. Sorry. She brought bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits, and so I can't have them because I don't do pork. So I guilt her in the clutch, and now Brian, who sat there quietly and didn't say anything or guilt or anything toward her, he gets his biscuit and my biscuit because I don't do pork. So Brian, not happy with you right now.
And he's smiling.
Of course, he's loud. He just got two biscuits instead of one. And I'm still right where I was a few minutes ago with nothing. Listen, thank you, though, for stopping and thinking about us. I know I was just saying it to have fun with you, but I'm glad you're feeling better. You're doing better. I'm glad to see you face to face. Thank you for coming on in here. And thanks to our very good friends at Oakley Village of Lexington for partnering up with us for the Positive Points on Aging. And Miss Katie is with us here today. Going to talk a little bit about the tips for dementia caregivers. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that and heading to the hospital, what it all means.
It's so much fun. Going to the hospital for them is, a couple weeks ago we talked about being prepared for an emergency.
Right.
So basically the way I look at things for our dementia care folks is that you have to be prepared for a hospitalization. One thing, or a hospital trip, not necessarily hospitalization. One thing is, it's not if you're going to go, it's most likely when.
When, yeah.
Yeah, which is, that kind of stinks, but unfortunately it does happen. So the best thing to do is to be prepared. Have a plan in place. If you are caring for a loved one at home that has dementia, have a backup partner, someone in crime that can help you out, whether it's a friend, a neighbor, whomever it may be. That way, if you go to the hospital, you are able to have someone sit with your loved one that has dementia while you're talking to physicians or while you're talking to the nursing staff, because you want to make sure that person is comfortable, that they're not scared, they're not having a bad day with all this going on, because it's already very traumatic for them.
One of the things I learned very early in our visits that we had with Marcia and Karen and now with you, Katie, is about dementia and about the people that are dealing with it. The phrase that Miss Karen taught me was about when you take them out of their world to a different world, you're asking for trouble.
Absolutely.
So if you're taking them to a hospital or to a waiting room and things like that they're not comfortable in, they don't understand necessarily why they're there, you're already taking them out of their world. You're already changing the environment. So you got to do everything you can to at least keep them comfortable with at least a semi-familiar face around them. It could be obviously different stages of dementia. You don't know how it's going to be.
Absolutely.
But I get your point about do what you can to make somebody comfortable.
Right. And when you walk in the door to the ER, the very first thing is you need to make sure that you inform them that the person that you are bringing has dementia. Example, when I took my dad to the hospital, he does not have dementia.
Right.
But daddy's 74 years old. So when we get there, they just think that he's a 74-year-old man that just sits in the chair, watches TV all day.
Sure.
That's not my dad.
Right.
So I had to explain. He doesn't take medication. He's not one of those ones that just sits stagnant.
Not idle.
He's moving. He's active.
Right.
He's still climbing on top of houses, building houses. So, it's a difference in opinion. So that's the same thing when it comes to your dementia folks. Make sure that they understand that this person has dementia. And that way you can explain to them how to talk to this person.
Right.
Because
the more information you provide to them, the better it's going to be for your loved one.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our hospitals are not well staffed with people dealing with Alzheimer's patients, which is kind of sad, but it does happen. They don't deal with them often. They don't understand it. So a lot of times it's going to be you coaching them along with trying to be the advocate for the resident or the patient.
Sure.
So that's a big deal as well.
Yeah, that's, again, I hope, I'm just saying this, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I hope that the hospitals and that the doctor's offices understand the need to train people going forward, because this isn't going to lighten up. It's only going to increase as the boomers hit this age. I mean, Alzheimer's even if we're making advancements with meds and with treatments, the fact of the matter is the number of people becoming senior citizens is exponential. It's right. The fastest growing population in our country.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. And comforting the patient, the resident, the dementia patient, that's one thing, is trying to keep them calm and keep them settled. But at the same time, you have to do the same, because the way you act is going to reflect to them and they're going to see it. And also it upsets staff.
Sure.
You know, if you come in with an attitude and you're mad because you're already having to be there and you're talking down to the doctor or to the nursing staff.
Right.
It's not going to, you're not going to get anywhere with it.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to go all northern guy turning southern on you,
right.
But bless your heart.
Listen.
You do get more with sugar than you get with vinegar.
You do.
You know, and listen, the doctors and the nurses understand you're stressed.
Right.
They understand that you're doing something stressful
right.
when you're bringing a patient, a loved one in who is dealing with something.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to give you compassion and kindness. But if you treat them like a bear,
yeah.
you know, then you're going to lose a lot of that compassion pretty quickly because they're human beings.
Right.
You get more with sugar than you do with vinegar.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm trying to say, you know.
And one thing to go ahead and know in the back of your mind now is expect to repeat yourself multiple times. Not mm-hmm. only are you going to, excuse me, tell the nursing staff what's going on, then you're going to have another person come in. And then it's going to be maybe the resident at
sure.
the hospital.
Sure.
You're going to have to explain it to them. Then you're going to have to turn around and explain it to the physician. And you know, unfortunately, you're going to have shift change. So guess what? You're re-explaining the entire situation again. So
sure.
you have to be very patient with the staff as well, of course, with your loved one, because they're going to get antsy. They're already in a new environment. They're
right.
already having to make these changes. And now you're telling them to lay in the bed and be still, or let them check underneath your shirt. Well, what do you mean? Why do they want to take off my clothes? You
right.
know, they
right.
panic. They worry. So you're going to have to be patient, which is probably the hardest thing for a lot of folks, is being patient. My husband, that is one thing he has always, every New Year's resolution, it really doesn't change, is to have more patience this year than he did last year.
Well, and that's good. Unfortunately, statistically speaking, our New Year's resolutions traditionally last about 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's about
you
the
know,
truth.
You know, so it's not necessarily going to work. But again, ask yourself this. Let's kind of just take this from the bare bones, Katie. Ask yourself, why am I going to this doctor's office?
Right.
Why am I going to this hospital? I'm doing this because someone I love,
mm-hmm.
let's just say for the sake of conversation, your dad.
Right.
You just talked about your 74-year-old dad.
Right.
Someone I love, something's not right.
Right.
I need to get him attention.
Right.
What's the fastest, most efficient way you're going to get that done to help someone you love and to get you back on your way to your regular day?
Right.
The fastest way you're going to do that is by cooperating
Very
with the staff. And by being pleasant
right.
and by being a little understanding
mm-hmm.
that maybe the patient that came in before you was a lot more of a trauma
right.
and it took longer than the usual 7-8 minutes that a doctor has to see a patient before going on to the next one.
Right. Absolutely.
Just again, nobody, and I know we all hate
mm-hmm.
this, Katie. We all hate, oh, man, they got us back here to our room pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're sitting there
you're
for an
waiting.
Hour. That's brutal. We all hate that. That's worse than sitting in the regular waiting
right.
room, is thinking that your turn is, wow, they're on schedule today.
Right.
And then you sit there for an hour and
right.
nobody comes and checks on you or gives you an update.
Mm-hmm.
We hate it.
Yeah.
We all started. Awful. We start going to our Yelp and leaving bad reviews. And I mean, yeah, everybody hates that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is nobody at that office that had an appointment scheduled for every 12, 15 minutes or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. Nobody planned on the one going three times as long as it was supposed to. There's a reason why things happen.
Right.
And so the best we can do is try to be as understanding as possible for all parties.
Because
mm-hmm. what choice do you have?
Right.
You either have that or you walk out and say, forget it. And then you're no closer to getting your loved one the
Take
treatment that he or she needs.
That's right.
So.
In lab work, you know, they draw labs just about as soon as you walk in the threshold of the door. They get
right.
you in the back. They usually
right.
draw labs.
Right.
It's not an instant answer.
No, that's, yeah. And
that's
we are.
That's also the hardest thing
yeah.
is waiting. Well, they drew my blood
right.
30 minutes ago.
And we are a society who loves our instant
yes.
gratification.
Right then.
Yeah. Hold tight. We'll come back. Second half coming up. The positive points on aging. We're with you here on a beautiful Tuesday. Kev and Katie and Brian on The Point.
Mornings with Kev. Back to the Bar Fireside Studio.
It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
Nine minutes now before 9 o'clock. Don't forget, Clear to Close is coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with Mary Gervais and Erica. They'll be coming your way from 9 until 10. A little bit later on today, the afternoon drive at 4 o'clock on the point. Now, I want to get back into things here. We've got Miss Katie with us from Oakleaf Village, and we are doing our positive points on aging, talking all about what you need to understand if you're taking someone with dementia, a loved one, to a doctor's appointment, to the hospital, to a situation where it's going to be uncomfortable for everybody,
right,
but it's a necessary part of what you have to do.
Right. Emergency rooms are always fun.
No. I'm going to correct you on that.
Exactly.
Emergency rooms are rarely to ever fun.
Right.
For anybody.
Right.
Yes.
So you can't expect to go in and get immediate answers. You're going
right.
to probably wait, like we talked about. The biggest thing is make sure that you do not leave the emergency room without a plan. If you're sent home, make sure you understand all the instructions for the follow-up care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they'll do the blood work. They're just waiting on the labs. Sometimes the emergency rooms cannot just hold you because they're waiting on labs. They don't see anything that's immediately that needs to be corrected, fixed, and taken care of at
right.
that moment.
Right.
So they'll probably give you a plan of care to say, you know, follow up with your primary care physician or your neurologist, especially if this is a dementia folk. But, you know, follow up with your physician is
right.
what you're probably going to get.
And I would think, I mean, again, most situations, unless there's just something crazy going on, I mean, obviously the doctors and the nurses,
mm-hmm.
they have protocol.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get you through your appointment, and then they're going to give you, here's your next step type thing that
right.
you're discussing right here.
Right.
So I'm glad you're teaching us this to make sure you kind of remind yourself, well, what's next for me?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me what I'm doing next. Or you don't. Most of the time, they'll tell you.
Right.
But for some reason, they don't. You're right. That's obviously something where people need to understand. Listen, you know, hey, what do I do next?
Right.
Because, I mean, you're not the doctor.
Mm-mm.
You don't know what the doctor thinks. Even if they haven't gotten you your test results back,
right.
still, you still want to leave there knowing, well, what's next.
Right.
Even if it's just, well, as soon as we get the test results, we'll call you with those
right.
and we'll schedule your next thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, it's just like when you took your own children to the pediatrician. When you left their office, you exactly knew that you were going to Walgreens, you were picking up your prescriptions
sure,
or
sure,
whatever it is
sure.
that you needed. You knew how the treatment was. Take them into the bathroom because they get the creepy cough and turn on the hot shower.
Right.
You had a plan in place of what to do next.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's just like the same situation. It's just your older adult or your person that has dementia. If you get to the emergency room and then all of a sudden now you're going to stay, they're going to admit that person because they want to do more tests or something else is going on. They can
mm-hmm.
tell it's not normal.
Right.
Here's that part of packing your bag, your little quick to go bag.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is making sure that you have things packed for them, but also for yourself.
Right.
And making sure, again, that you have a buddy system in place if you do have to stay at the hospital. You don't, a lot of folks, you really don't want to leave your dementia ones by themselves at the hospital. Not saying that you can't, it's just harder. If you have someone there that's familiar with them, they know exactly how to calm them down.
Sure.
Some hospitalizations will require for them to be restrained. If you don't want your loved one restrained, then it's good to be bedside with them so
right.
you can help keep them calm.
Right.
Which, that stinks too.
Again,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've often said this.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of places other than maybe the maternity ward in a hospital
right.
that have happiness going on.
Correct.
Okay, so if you're going to a hospital,
mm-hmm.
it's more than likely not a happy experience unless
right.
you're leaving there with a bouncing baby boy or girl.
Right.
And you know, you're becoming a parent or a grandparent or something like that.
Right.
Otherwise, there's a lot of sadness. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of challenge. There's a lot of fast decision-making that needs to be made. The
right.
more you can do on decisions up front,
mm-hmm.
you and I have had so many talks
oh,
about
yeah.
being proactive instead of reactive.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can do in terms of having that bag that you just talked about,
right.
all the things you can do to alleviate things popping up that
mm-hmm.
add to your stress, because
right.
you're already in a stressful environment.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you can do to make it a little easier,
right.
try to do that in advance.
Right. And do that for yourself. Pack that bag for yourself, making sure you have your own medication. Because if you get sick and you're at the hospital, you forgot your medications and you fall out on the floor, guess what? You're going to have a room and it won't be next door.
Yeah. No, you don't need to. And plus, you don't want to be stinky.
No, you don't want to be stinky.
Bring your deodorant.
Right. Absolutely. Toothbrush.
Yeah. Bring a toothbrush. Bring some deodorant. Change of clothes. Things like that. And look, if you're in a bad situation, the nurses, they're going to do everything they can to even make you feel comfortable.
They do.
They're so good. Yeah. I mean, again, most of them, I'm not saying everyone always has the best attitude in the world. There are some people who are just going to be miserable even if they win the lottery.
Right.
But most people who are in the nursing field or the healthcare field, it's a calling.
It is.
And they will have a level of compassion, and they will treat you well as long as you treat them well.
Right. So if they offer a warm blanket, I'll tell you to take it every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one thing we loved, was having a warm blanket brought to us.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, just understand that your comfort matters too.
Right.
Because the more uncomfortable you are, the less patient you're going to stay.
Right.
And so it's a win-win if they can help keep you comfortable, especially when your stress levels are through the roof and you're watching someone you absolutely love and adore go through a horrible time.
Absolutely.
It's not meant to be fun. They're not going to make it fun for you, but they're going to do everything they can.
Right.
If they offer you that extra set of Jell-O, take that Jell-O.
Absolutely take the Jell-O.
You know? What's your favorite kind of Jell-O? Do you have a favorite flavor?
Strawberry.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the red Jell-Os are my favorite Jell-Os also.
That's pretty good.
And we were talking, today's National Butterscotch Day. Pudding.
I love butterscotch.
I don't know if you're a butterscotch pudding.
Yes, absolutely.
Young lady, yeah.
Yep.
Well, anyway.
One of my favorites.
When they offer you things at the hospital, take them and understand that they're just trying to make your visit more comfortable, because by you being more comfortable, it's going to make the entire scene just easier for everybody.
Absolutely.
So, again, treat these people with kindness, because they're trying so hard to make the person you love comfortable and healing them, if possible, to heal them.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And just go ahead and know that there's things that you're going to have to help with. The simple things of helping them figure out what they want to eat. You probably know the person well enough. You already know what they're going to eat, so you can go ahead and order their menu.
Sure, sure.
So if they're dementia focus at the hospital, they're not going to know how to pick up the phone, dial the number, call down for lunch to be brought up.
Exactly.
So you expect to have to have, that's why you have to have somebody there with you. Because you can't do it 24/7, I understand, but have somebody that can come in, take a shift, cover lunch.
Right.
That way they're ordering the food, adjusting the bed. They don't know how to change it. I had a hard time figuring out how to change the hospital bed when I first got there with Daddy. So
there's so many things
that you don't think about. Turning the TV on, putting it on a appropriate channel.
Right. If your dad loves to watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune every single night at a certain time, and you can make that easier for him, you're going to put him into a comfort zone.
Right.
And he's going to forget about where he's at in a hospital bed, because he's going to see his Wheel of Fortune that he's used to seeing.
Right.
Those are things you can do to make life a little easier.
Right. And then if they are admitted to the hospital, ask him if they can continue on their regular medication regimen.
Right.
And the reason you ask that is you don't want to do too much. You're already doing a change in condition. You don't want to do a change of medications where now you got to wait 30 more days for it to be therapeutic to get it back in their system. You want to be able to start their medication and continue their medication.
Now, there's a lot of information, but ultimately, again, try to make it as comfortable as you can for everybody.
Yes.
If people want more information from you, how do they find you over at Oakleaf Village?
They can give us a call at 803-808-3477, or they can reach us at oakleafvillagelexington.com.
You're a superstar. Thank you. Appreciate you very much, Katie. That's going to wrap it for us. Don't forget, I'm back at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The Clear to Close program coming up next. For Katie and Brian, I'm Kev. See you.
With Kev.